Bobby the Jet.
Mr. Kunokar, is that right?
Three and four.
469.
My name is, Smart, I'm the manager.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Manager of the Kunokar County Service in Portland. Mr. DeWinter called us last week and suggested we send somebody up here to tell you folks the story of the Kunokar Service. About, 50 years ago, last summer, a young man built a, box on the back of a Model T Ford and, proceeded to install, Burroughs bookkeeping machine and a typewriter and desks. And from that small beginning, he built up this business, over the period of 50 years and has had, three offices in California and three in Washington and this one in Portland. And, over the period of this time, it has, prospered and, we have been very particular to render, service to our clients in such a way that, they would be benefited and there would be no, discredit to the accounting service. Part of us are licensed public accountants and part are not. But the crew of 10 that we have there have a combined service with the company of, 230 years for the 10 of them. That's an average of, 23 years per person. And the smaller, the shortest period of service is, 7 years. The, others, there's three of them here that have been there 30 years and one that's been, or 33 years and one that's been there 30 and the others on intervening times. And, if this, deletion is made that the board requests, there'll be either one of two things that will happen to our organization and we're the only ones involved. If it is deleted, we will either have to, buy out three stockholders who are not accountants and, they're unwilling to sell, but if it's forced to, that's what they would have to do. And, otherwise, we would have to, and also, we will have to, delete our, signs which we have been using on our mobile offices for a period of 50 years. The sign of Kunokar is an oval shaped sign that you see there on the, card. And we have used this all this time. We would have to delete those off of our trucks according to what, I understand from the board. And, otherwise, if we didn't do that, we would have to, drop the word accounting from our name and, then we would, have to, change the decals on all trucks. But we would be then privileged to do all the advertising we wanted to. We would not, make any difference to our clients whether we called ourselves bookkeepers or accountants. But, this grandfather clause, number 2 here in the bill, is the only thing we ask that you not delete. Because it allows us to continue as we are and we would like to see you, not delete that at least for the duration of our present, management.
What's that?
One in italics there, number 2.
Questions of Mr. Smart?
Well,
Senator Smith?
There can't be, any possible benefit to the accounting profession because we have done nothing to, discredit the accounting profession. I don't know who it would benefit, but it certainly would be detrimental to us.
Well, Mr. Smart, you, I didn't, really get the gist of the intramural battle you're having. Is this a question of advertising within the...
Well, they want us to take these signs off the sides of our trucks because they call that advertising. We also have a small...
Your code of ethics does not approve of advertising, is that right?
The code of ethics set up by these people does not approve of it.
The Board of Accounts?
Yes.
I And that's been the battle, I assume, that has been roaring for some years.
Well, they have tried at various times to delete this grandfather clause here, and the legislature so far has not seen fit to go along with it.
This bill's been introduced several sessions.
As far as I know, it has, yes. I wasn't involved before.
And so the question is, well, let me ask you then, do you have some public accountants as well as accountants?
Yes, we have about four or five of our staff are licensed public accountants. And the rest of them are quite experienced, but they're not licensed by the state, but they're employed by our organization. And they're as competent as if they did have a license.
I'm sure that's subject to some debate.
Well, I don't know. You check them out.
Well, not by me, by the Board of Accountants.
No. Well, they haven't made any effort to get the license, as far as I know.
Senator Ivers?
Well, I was wondering, how long has the present ownership now? There are just, you say, five people that own it?
Five, yes. Now, there's three of them that are not accountants. They're not active in the management. The Mrs. Bryant, the widow of the founder, she's back here.
I'm Mrs. Bryant.
And she holds stock, and the one of the previous managers of our Oakland office was holds some stock, and our insurance man holds some stock. So Miss Persich, the young lady back there with Mrs. Bryant, and myself own the majority of the stock. And we have been both, she has been at the company 30 years, and I've been there 33.
Hi, Chairman.
Senator Smith.
How do you operate in Washington, the state of Washington?
Well, it's a separate corporation up there and a separate corporation in California.
I mean, the laws in the state of California, Washington, allow you to have the...
In Washington, they use the name Punic Car Bookkeeping Service. In California, they do use the name Accounting Service down there.
Well, in other words, in California, you can use the word Accounting Service.
That's what you want to shut that door?
As far as I know, yes. I have had no dealings with the... problems in California just before I came.
So what you're saying is you don't mind taking out the word accounting service.
Well, it would be it'd be quite an expensive thing for us, because we have a trust fund, a profit sharing trust for our people who work there, and it's been going for a number of years, and it would cost us at least $500 of legal procedure to change the name just on that one fund. And it would also entail changing all of our letterheads and all the decals on the truck. There's three on each truck, which would be 36 of these decals. That's about so long.
How many trucks are there?
12.
12?
Yes.
In Oregon?
Yes, they're all in Portland. There's 10 of them in operation. We have two for spares.
How many people? How many people are employed by Punic Car?
Well, we have 10 operators, 10 staff accountants, and two in the office.
And is the Oregon operation wholly owned or separately owned from the California and Washington?
Yes, they're separately owned, because the five of us own all the stock of the Portland office, and none of us own any of the California or
Washington. Oregon and it's an Oregon corporation.
Yes. And has been since 1929. After the company had been in business 7 years while they incorporated.
Final question, Madam Chairman, and that is, have you had hearings with the State Board of Accountancy?
We had one hearing last fall, I believe it was, with them, and they said that they were going to present this bill to this legislature, and they hoped that we wouldn't buck the thing, but it would be too expensive for us either way if it passes.
Have you had a lawsuit?
Are you Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
Would you like to come up and sit at the table? Mr. Meyer is the one who testified in favor of the bill. If you have any questions you want to ask him.
Oh, I have one, Madam Chair.
Senator Smith.
Would you, Mr. Meyer, would you again go with me? I asked the question.
Who is Maria?
Oh, Mr. Meyer, would you state your name and a place of business for the record, please?
Yeah, my name is Saul Meyer. I'm a CPA in Portland. I'm a member of the Oregon State Board of Accountancy.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, you heard me ask the question regarding the point of advertising. Is that the only reason for this bill, or are there others in the area of code of ethics of the Board of Accountancy that you would like to see this bill passed?
There are others also, Senator. We actually, this corporation is operating outside of the jurisdiction of the State Board of Accountancy. The State Board of Accountancy was formulated for the purpose of protecting the public and adhering to code of ethics, professional ethics. And to my knowledge, the only time that we have presented a bill to delete this grandfather clause was in 1971 legislature, after we had passed a law permitting professional corporations, which in other words would permit them to operate as a professional corporation if they would conform to the rules of the Professional Corporation Act.
Well, now, how are they operating outside of your code of ethics?
Well, we don't have any jurisdiction over them. For example, you mentioned the word advertising. In the telephone book in Portland, they are listed under public accountants, and yet they are the only firm that is permitted to advertise. They have a large block ad in the yellow pages of the telephone book. I believe that we presented a copy with our material to the committee, and they are the only ones that are so permitted. The purpose of this bill is so that all public accountants are treated uniformly in the state of Oregon.
But the one purpose is so they can't advertise as public.
No, that isn't the only purpose, actually. Well, another purpose, another reason, actually, one of our main concerns for sponsoring this bill is that there's nothing to preclude them from selling their practice to someone else.
Now, we have complaints from people who have done this.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't had any complaints. Actually, I can honestly say that to my knowledge, we haven't had any complaints at all. They haven't performed any acts that I know of that are discreditable to the profession.
So then it is advertising.
Well, it's advertising, and the qualms that we have that there is a distinct possibility that as a corporate entity, they could sell their practice to others who would also not come within the provisions of the Public Accountancy Act.
At some time in the future, they may discredit the accountancy profession with some other management.
That's right.
Well, we're asking is that you do not delete this until the present management, as long as the present management remains in office.
Senator Ivers.
Well, I guess Senator Smith really asked many of the questions I was going to. I just don't see where they're doing any harm. Here you have a business that's been for 50 years, no complaints, and yet some board, bureaucratic board, wants to move in and put them out of business.
Well, actually, we don't want to put them out of business. All we want them to do is to conform to the same rules as other public accountants are required to conform.
All they
would have to do...
Wouldn't we have to delete these ovals from our cards?
Just change the name from accounting to bookkeeping. In other words, they were required to do that in the state of Washington. The state of Washington, they're operating...
Some individual accountant can't, if you decide to have a car or he's got a truck carrying around his equipment, can't put on that truck that he's an accountant?
No, he wouldn't be able to.
Why?
Under our rules, because it's against
attorneys, can they put on their window that they're an attorney?
Well, you can on your window, I mean, put certified public accountant or public accountant. That's very true, but if you put it on your truck, why, that's considered as advertising.
These trucks are our officers, though.
That's their office.
If they happen to be mobile, well, that's just our benefit.
Can you do that for the clients?
No. Attorneys could get an ambulance if they look for an office.
Thank you, gentlemen. Let's look at House Bill 2051. It's in the slick book.
If you would smile every time you say it, you wouldn't laugh.
2051.
Myers.
They're gonna find it out.
So it didn't sit there.
Bureaucrats.
Well, not bureaucrats, George.
Volunteers, are they all volunteers?
What about, if I had a panel truck with a perfect lawyer on it, do you think that,
Well, I don't know why not, if that was your office.
Where's our deal?
Let's look at, House Bill 2051, John, you wanna run through real quick?
Yeah, right.
The bill would, enact the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act. So far, this particular act has been adopted in only one other state, and that's North Dakota. The purpose...
Have uniform law.
As you can see, the first, Section 2 is merely definition. Section 3 defines when the court, can have jurisdiction over a child custody case. The whole purpose of the bill is to, in some way coordinate, child custody cases in Oregon with any custody cases that might be pending in another state at the same time, or also to simply inform the courts in Oregon of any previous child custody cases regarding the particular child before the court.
How about the bill we had that allowed foreign decrees to be registered in the state?
This particular bill does substantially the same thing with regard to child custody decrees. In Section 12 on page 9, that's of a court in this state. If you look at Section 13, just beneath it, speaks of a decree, either initial decree or a modification decree of a court of another state.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, our other bill pretty much accomplished this.
I would say yes, with the exception that it doesn't have the requirements that this bill has, such as, say, requiring this court to send to other courts upon request decrees such as this, and a reciprocal requirement on a court of another state that might adopt this particular bill. Practically speaking now, however, that would
like
talking
North
only
Dakota.
Of South Dakota.
The table is good. Pass the house.
Let it age a little bit.
Without any amendments at all, this passed the house?
Let's look at, just to give you exercise back to the other book, Senate Bill 400. Hank, do you want to come up? I guess there are amendments in the packet, John, is that right?
Yes, there are. There should be one amendment in the packet. Significant language is that which is underlined that begins except as may be required by a court order examination.
Madam Chairman, Hank Crawford with the Oregon Medical Association. I don't think I probably have much more to add than what we have gone over several times with the bill. Thanks to Senator Burns' suggestions at the last meeting that we had. We did change the language. It was done in Portland. I assume our legal counsel was in on it. Also know they were trying to reach Harl Haas before they sent it down to me, and so I'm assuming that Harl's had a look at this, but I do feel positive that we have broached every single area that is of concern as far as dealing with criminals. And the bill is really one that cannot be looked at as any kind of a special interest bill, because the only people's interest in mind is the patient. It's not going to really do anything for physicians. It's really a matter of protection, and hopefully its passage would make it so that people were not inclined to be afraid to come into a physician and talk frankly with them about their problems. And that's really it.
Senator Keith,
what are these, or ask Hank, are these physicians?
John has those listed, and I didn't bring my list with me.
Child abuse, communicable disease.
Well, I mean, civil action.
He'll give them to you right here.
146.750 relates to injuries caused by a deadly weapon, requires a medical a report to a medical investigator by a physician. 418.740 to 775 relates to child abuse, again a requirement to report. 426.610 to 640 has to do with the reporting of a psychiatric exam, which is an exam of someone who is alleged to be a sexually dangerous person. The psychiatric exam comes back to the court. 433.005 is a report of communicable diseases, and 434.020 is a report of venereal diseases.
So we've tried to be very careful, Senator Burns, that we didn't touch any of those areas which are obviously important to the state and enforcement of various statutes that exist now.
Senator John Burns?
Well, you mean... When you take out the civil action center proceeding, that delete that, then he can be examined without the consent of his patient?
No. Taking out the civil suit, my understanding of the way it was amended was that by taking that out, it now included criminal. By saying civil suit, it meant only civil suit.
Okay. Right.
We were concerned about the criminal aspect of it also.
Okay. I'd forgotten that.
Well, you don't have the pretrial psychiatric in there, hey?
Well, we do, don't we, Senator, by this latest amendment? If it's ordered by the courts, then it will be done. That's why we amended it as we did.
Chapter 130 sometimes. I, too, wrote to Harold Hawes to remember from him.
I have no assurance of the fact that he was talked to. I know that the phone call was placed, and they're going to try to get her. I'll find out tomorrow night if it's coming over to the house for dinner.
Okay, it's Hank. Chapter 137, diagnostic examination of dinner.
We'd be happy to have the ORS number listed in it. We make no attempt to avoid it.
Well, it's chapter 137 generally. That's the post sentence. 137.072.
See, at present time, interestingly enough, and as I said once before, psychiatrists are the ones that get caught in this bind most often. But interestingly enough, in Oregon statute now, psychologists have this immunity. Psychiatrists don't because they're physicians. Clergymen have this immunity.
If we get pre- and post-trial immunity in there, I think I can support it because I think that it has. I'm not wildly enthusiastic about it, but it seems to me there is some public policy. Check the thumb left where we change the pre-trial psychiatric examination.
Okay, thank you, Hank. We'll have John check that. Senate Bill 407, Janet Merrill.
Thank you.
ahead, Janet.
Well, I drafted the amendment that the committee requested at the last hearing on this bill, and they are, I think you have copies of them.
Is this a spendthrift amendment?
That's part of it, yes.
Is that dated April 6th?
May 2nd.
May 2nd. Well, they're in the folder, I guess, rather.
407. Yeah, I have a question, and that is, it relates to the letter from Walter Fuhrer concerning the mentally retarded.
Minimum what?
Mentally retarded, it's on top.
Is it, did you draft amendments?
No, I don't understand exactly what he thinks the problem will be. I don't think it changes the status of any of the commitment proceedings in that regard. The only time that this bill will come into effect when a petition for a guardianship or conservatorship is filed. There's nothing automatic, because a person is committed, unless, you know, a petition for guardianship or conservatorship is filed at the same time, then guardianship or conservatorship is not automatically given to the custodian.
Okay, so you don't think there's a problem?
I don't think there is, no. In fact, as I went through the bill, in many places, the custodian is given certain powers. I can go quickly through and tell you some of the things that I can, if you can, but I think it's really better for them in the long run, because what they are attempting to do by this is make the guardianship and conservatorship powers a little more liberal.
Janet, did you hear that Mr. Graney testify from the veterans at 1 o'clock today?
No, I didn't, but
in section 44, he wanted a shall instead of may. That concerns the bond. And then he felt that a final receipt instead of an accounting was not satisfactory.
I did hear the last part where he was dealing with the accounting. I'm not sure what section that is.
Well,
as far as the bond provision is concerned, I think, you know, that's a policy decision that would be yours to make. I can tell you the basis of why the committee selected decided to make it discretionary. So many of the guardianships and conservatorships, in this case it's a conservatorship now, involve just small estates where one parent dies and money is left to the child and to the other parent, and then the one parent is appointed as a guardian. And it's so inconvenient for them to have to post a bond in order to handle the children. And the powers are there for the court to intervene at any time at the request of any interested person. So protection is provided if the person is really abusing their powers. But to require a bond in every instance can be inconvenient, and it is within the discretion of the court. The court has this control, and they just thought they could trust the court for that decision.
Mm-hmm. Questions or Janet?
Law Improvement Committee bill, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am willing to do what you want to do. Who do you want to keep?
Well,
gave you two today.
Huh?
Gave you two. Three.
Wow. Oh, yeah, but you voted all wrong in my class action.
Well, I think that's why I voted for the others.
Janet, what did you do with the spendthrift?
Let's see. We changed.
That's on page 13. All the way from Israel.
We added language to delete, well, we deleted such as.
Oh, what page are you on, Juan? I'm sorry.
Page 13, excuse me, line 20. We deleted such as and added including but not limited to, and then in order to take care of expenses, we deleted advanced age on line 21. We deleted
okay.
Advanced.
For reasons such as what that may have been. Yeah. What did you add?
For reasons, including but not limited to mental illness,
yeah.
And on down here, and then it will be age instead of advanced
age. Is that part of your amendment set forth
here?
What else do the amendments do?
The amendments include the definition of conservator and guardian, which was suggested by Senator Hoy, and then, of course, a good portion of these. Just the renumbering of the subsections of the definition section.
Mm-hmm.
Then, a top of the page, and at the bottom of the first page and the top of the next page are the amendments to take care of the spendthrift problem on page 13.
Somebody want to move the amendment?
So moved.
Is there objection to the amendments prepared by Ms. Merrill? So ordered. And there anyone to take action on the bill?
Senator, or,
What was that?
I might add, Madam Chairman, that there is one other amendment proposed by Cornelius Basin, and this is also in your packet. The amendment which he suggests is a change that is also included in the House bill, which has not come out of the committee in the House yet. It simply would, in instances where there's proceeding for involuntary sterilization, simply says that the operation will be performed by a physician licensed under the Board of Medical Examiners rather than under the direction of the state health officer. So it's simply more specific as to who would perform the operation. That's on a mock-up in the letter from him.
Together, Ron here. Is he over there?
I wonder.
He must not have attended that
dedication.
Question.
I haven't had a motion yet.
No, I want to ask a question. Page 15. I have a note. 17 and 19. Did you amend those in your amendments?
No. Page 15, line 17 and 19.
The committee has already adopted amendments, I believe, on that, which was simply putting in the bond if required, since it was discretionary with the court.
Give them a bit of help, said George.
We put in the spendthrift. Were you here, Mom, on page 13? We put in the coverage of a spendthrift trust. Does anybody want to know anything about Corny's?
What's Corny's amendment? What was he talking about?
Sterilization.
Section
139.
Shocking.
There's no conflict between Mr. Basin's proposed amendment and the amendment that would be made by Senate Bill 407 as it's printed.
Well, what's the purpose of adopting them then?
I suppose to have it both ways. If the House bill does not pass, and perhaps Senate Bill 407 does, he would like to see that amendment be made.
Why did it skip from section 132 to 140? And his amendment is theoretically to 139.
You must have a defective copy. Isn't that the same copy you had this morning?
139 goes to 140, am I? Section 130.
Mine goes from 132 to 140.
That's, we've got a defective copy.
Well, you got a lot of stuff there,
I think they left out about four pages.
I suspected that for a long time.
Well, yeah, you're missing five pages. 64 to 69.
That does make a difference.
That explains some of your votes.
What, let's see, 139 in here.
What's the military one?
Well, it's just really conform the language that's in this other House bill instead of the state. It says a
physician.
It changes the language to a physician licensed by the board. rather than direction of the state health officer.
Where is House Bill 2336?
That's in the House Committee on State and Federal Affairs, and that committee has not taken action on
it. I move the amendment. That's what we should do in the one, move the amendment.
Is there objection to the adoption of Corning's amendment? So ordered. Anybody want to take action on the bill? I will.
I'll move forward and pass recommendation.
Senate Bill 407, as amended, has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
If I may ask, you know, this the attorney this morning, or I mean our earlier session for the Veterans Fund, what were his objections? Did we take care of those?
No, we didn't. In section 44, he wanted shall, and Janet said that so many of the estates, and this is talking about conservatorship, are very small ones managed by the living parent, the estate which has been left by the decedent parent, that they wanted to leave it discretionary with the court whether or not to put up a bond, and she said that at any time the court could intervene and require a bond. Now, do you have anything to add to that, Janet? Okay.
Well, then, Joe, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Janet, when we, last session when we gave people 18 years of age the authority to contract, we had a whole bunch of guardianships where the people, they're still under guardianship up until the time they're 21, and so then we ran into the problem of who conveys property. In that instance, you got a person's award, but he actually has legal authority to do it under that law. But, so is that straightened out here?
Well, because the committee did not know in which direction, you know, the age of majority would go.
We've got a motion to pass out 407 with amendments which adopted Corning's and the Spencer.
Well, we got to do something about that. And I tried to get it done in the special session last time. Speaker of the House.
But that didn't go to George's question. Were you satisfied, George?
I suppose. I really not totally, but it sounds logical. I need more explanation. I don't have an answer.
Shouldn't we straighten that out?
It could be done with the definition of minor.
What do we do here? We treat her under age 21?
The way it's defined now, it is who has not arrived at the age of majority is provided in 109.510 or 109.502.
Which is 21?
No.
But if Senate Bill 27 or whatever it is, that would change it.
Yeah, but this this problem
breaking it.
I'm all for that. Well, there's
why they won't pass.
The problem is, who has the authority to?
Can you be old enough to drink?
Does a ward? Yeah. A ward would not have authority to convey property. In any event, it has to be the guardian. And the guardianship continues until a person is 21. So the person could be perfectly able to handle his affairs, convey property at the age of 18, but if he had a guardianship imposed upon him before that time, then he can't do what other people can do at the age of 18, right?
Right.
And there's really no reason for it.
No, and as I say, you could do it quite simply by changing the definition of minor in the definition section here and making it 18. This was a policy decision that the committee discussed, and, you know, it's not that legal.
It's a dilemma, but it seems to be logical with giving people 18 years of age the legal authority to contract, and we ought to terminate guardianships at the age of 18.
Agreed.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, but suppose that Senate Bill 27 passed, and they make it say 20 or 19.
Well, no, we did this last session.
Oh, Oh,
contract and 18.
Oh, okay, right.
It's just to that.
Whatever you say.
Well, I'll so move, Madam Chairman. I withdraw my previous motion and move that we'll amend this to accommodate that little problem.
You don't have to withdraw your previous motion. It's been moved to amend Senate Bill 407 in the definition of minor to define it as someone less than 18 years of age. Discussion.
Well, have it the same language as we used in that middle last one.
You didn't mean less than 18.
You're 18 years of age, aren't you? No, an 18-year-old is able to contract.
Yeah, I think
it has to be less under 18.
All right. So we should use the same language. We used that legislation we passed last time to be
the one that allows them to contract. Is there objection? So ordered. And the motion is before us to pass the bill, to the floor as amended, do pass. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator John Boone?
Aye.
Senator Keefer?
Aye.
Senator Ivers?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. Were you here on a bill?
668.
668? Well, Senator Burns has requested that this be put over. So.
Let's do it. We've got a meeting in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And so let's do it. And if we could do it on Friday, I'll be ready.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.